What is it? I'm listening. Once more the interval of silence. Then she laughed. Supposing, she began, just supposing you suddenly found yourself free as air, released into the bigness of the solar system as compared with the Earth. Supposing you were just jumping with energy and eagerness and enthusiasm, and the only danger seemed to be spreading out too wide and maybe dissolving yourself. And if you had no plan about what you'd accomplish with all that bursting energy, that's just my trouble now. Generally, people make plans first. Then, when the plan is big enough, energy is meted out. But here I am, all dressed up in energy, and no place to go. I don't know what to do first. It's too big. My inwardness isn't big enough for it. I want to give it to you, lots of it. Maybe that's the reason it is given to me. She contemplated this for a moment. If I could only thicken it up a little, she mused, so you could use it. There was a short pause. Then, sadly, I can't thicken it up enough. The general trend is toward a more spiritual life, hinted the invisibles. All right, I put in my oar. What is spiritual? It is just daily life carried on by a self with higher associations, was the answer. That daily life can either go on growing, or be dwarfed and stand still. When it is dwarfed, you are not conscious of it, just as you are not conscious of an atrophied organ. When it begins to grow, it takes possession of you and pushes other things aside. You'll see the point, in time, said the invisibles, addressing Betty. All you can do at present is to embody, in your daily life, your aspiration and kinship with the stars. Above all, be patient. Go about your affairs and do not expect us unless we manifest. We are lifting you. Play and laugh and love and work to rise. Cannot you feel even now that you have set a little harder task for yourself and that you can see a little farther? In other words, she must first absorb the concept, whatever it was, and then understand it. But understanding, in an invisible's definition, seemed to be something more than mere mental appraisal and judgment. It was a kind of incorporation into the substance of one's self. The invisibles called this make it so, borrowing the phrase by which a Navy officer makes official a happening aboard ship. You must not only understand it, but you must make it so before it is your possession. The invisibles summed it up. Chapter 10 Inheriting the Law. Many different primary phases were mixed in with the first development of the idea of contact. In addition to the inner citadel, there were, for example, such things as insulation, elimination of undesirables, and a half dozen other technicalities fully treated in the Betty book, but out of place here. That is what I meant when I said that to me at this time the instruction seemed fragmentary. As far as I was concerned, the lack of sequence was maddening. The invisibles would bring up a brand new topic of instruction or discussion, would get my interest just nicely started on it, and then drop it in favor of something entirely different. They gave things in dabs. Sometimes they had four or five subjects going at once. Talk about keeping track of a three-ring circus. I have, or had then, a tidy mind. Why don't you finish a thing once you've begun it? I complained, instead of romping around like the giddy goat. I got no exact answer at the time, but I had ceased expecting exact answers to that type of question. To answer would have been, I suppose, to defeat the very purpose of the indirection. In other words, arousing too directly the interest of Betty's subconscious mind would have resulted in what we called coloring, which means that the said subconscious would take over, more or less, and inject its own ideas. In the early stages of Betty's training, this had to be carefully guarded against. After about 5 years, however, such precaution was no longer necessary. Betty herself had command, and the sub had not a look in. Then, to my satisfaction, the little dab method was abandoned. That was one answer to my question. There was another. But the invisibles gave it only after Betty had gone beyond the need for that technique. For purposes of study, there is over-magnification of a part, they now told me. To avoid misshapement, there must be occasional pauses to contemplate this magnified part in relation to the whole. That is, the part must be shoved back and diminished to its proper relationship. The constant changing of subject to which you have always objected is the only method we could devise of accomplishing this purpose. It allowed the picture to retire to its proper proportions. That satisfied my mind. An unusual concession on the part of the invisibles. For a long time they seemed to have almost a contempt for intellect. That proved not to be really so. Merely, for the moment, the intellect was not the appropriate tool, and moreover, as a usual thing, in our ordinary processes, we use the intellect almost exclusively, forgetting the non-intellectual, shall I say intuitional, equipment which now the invisibles wished to bring up to correct balance. But, as usual, they did not explain this until the fact was accomplished, and that one thing came nearer throwing me off the whole business than anything else. My life had been one that required a very active use of the intellect. And if my mind could not endorse a thing, then it was out, as far as I was concerned. Now, apparently, I was being asked to accept things without that endorsement. I say apparently, for later I found out this was not at all what they were asking. I understood, finally, that I was not to set aside intellectual judgments, but merely to postpone them until the accomplished fact. Then I could use my mind as critically as I pleased. Indeed, the invisibles wanted me to do so. The whole thing boiled down to one simple statement: the brain is the executive, not the originating, branch of our personal government. Why did they not tell me this, in so many words, right at the start? I did not know, and I was annoyed. But that was not the invisibles' way of doing things. They never told us until after we had experienced. Evidently we were supposed, as the cowboys express it, to roll our own. There is no substance at all in pure intellect. The invisibles answered one of my protests. It is just a very fine shadow. The simplest achievement is so much more important. Pure intellect is aloof, unrelated. From her vantage point in the other consciousness, Betty accepted this more readily than did I. There's such a great difference between your brain and mine, she told me. Yours is a much better human faculty, so much stronger. But she added, I can't see why it's so much less absorbent than mine. I don't understand that. It's very puzzling to me, very puzzling. I don't see why brainless instincts like mine are so much easier. Neither could I. And even the invisibles refused help. They've gone and left me to puzzle this out, said Betty. I admire brain so much. I don't understand. It looks like some non-conducting quality, a sort of gloss, like glass. There's something. She broke off for a moment, as if listening. Where's the catch? She ventured. Again the listening pause. Oh, I see. Looks like a ship running with a very strong starboard light and almost no port light. It's a one-eyed thing. It's the other eye they're trying to develop in me. She studied this a few moments. I am getting to understand it a little now, she concluded. The brain looks like a petty officer. Whatever it is incapable of handling it denies. Through generations of denial it has arrested the development of the wiser inner self, which is adapted to handling the higher world of senses and possibilities, the vitalized world around us, what lies outside human set limitations. They are not really limitations except as we cramp that inner self. Betty seemed satisfied. I was not. I wanted to see, with the practical eyes of my mind, where I was planting my feet. The invisibles were patient. Make the leap, they urged. Dare to do it. Take a chance on our being right. You cannot connect up in an unbroken series of steps with what you know. This reality is not on the outskirts, a gap must be bridged. It is very necessary to employ the measuring stick of your mind ordinarily, but lay it aside intermittently. Hurl yourself into space, as it were. It will not hurt you to go bravely out to pick up a clue or two. You've been trying to creep up on things on the scientific side, but they've got to be boldly taken, artistically, in the present case. I see what they want, cried Betty. Supposing you had to prepare a turtle to become a lark. I'm showing you how to break up the inertia. This leaping, hurling business, this releasing, whatever you want to call it, is definitely the only way to take possession of the wider, freer life. All of which, to me, at that time, tended dangerously near to conventional metaphysical fuzziness, and that was something I did not approve at all. I was very difficult at that period, and if I seem to be doing a lot of talking about myself, it is only because I believe my first view was that of the hard-headed, practical, average man in the street. The phrase insult to one's intelligence occurred to me. Don't be offended in your intellect, the invisibles told me. Give us a chance. Your precious intellect will have its innings. We won't do more harm than present it something to work on for the rest of its natural life. Leave it in soak and keep it flexible, and we can go on. It's bound to be satisfied later. When this other faculty becomes the leader, your intellect must immediately react to it, it must, just as the blood goes through your body to nourish all parts. Do you get the idea, now? Something beyond what you can understand, can explain with the brain? If that is what we want to get to you first, how could we get it through your brain without the slowest of evolution? As a statement that made sense. Please note, they pressed home their point, you will not get scientific explanation such as you expect. You will get the reality as we can manage to give it, which you can deduce as theory later. We cannot tell you in words which would convey anything to you, what we must accomplish by molding you to the thing itself. The molding, it proved, had a definite and ordered method. Betty was much amused at the process. It's like children dressing up and playing lady, she commented. I'm pretending I'm what I'd like to be. It's absurdly dignified. She laughed heartily. You ought to see me. It's the way I feet when I wear a train. It all still looked fuzzy to me, and I said so. Couldn't you just take it on faith? They urged. Couldn't you just pretend for a 9, to give it a chance to work? If this reality is ever to be recognized, it must be by something hitherto unrecognized in law. Put your energy and your daring into throwing out to your farthest limits in search of comprehension of the hitherto unknown. You must gain it in imagination first, and then work back through slow steps to connect it with observed facts. And there I was stopped again. By a word. Imagination. I am a fiction writer and I know something about imagination and its power to conjure elaborate structure out of thin air. Also it hook in folk, such as wish fulfillment and compensation fantasies. Even Betty was doubtful. I don't think, she objected. That's a very good word, imagination. It's too cobwebby with unrealities. The invisibles seemed openly astonished. Imagination! They cried. Why, that is the very gateway of reality. You call it a plaything, you've always called it a plaything. But actually it's the one thing you possess that connects you with the next substance. It's a transmuting chemical. It's been the father of a big brood of mistaken ideas, I grumbled. Nevertheless, they insisted, it's the way to get outside yourself. How else could you function beyond your fleshly limitations? But use imagination masterfully, not as an onlooker, as a partaker. The whole trouble, they added, astoundingly, is in using too little. A little imagination has no strength to fight. Instead of freeing, it is captured, a poor little helpless thing. A little, taken and concentrated on, shut off from its source of supply, is devitalized, dead. They had made one convert. One must try harder to get hold of the idea and play with it in symbols, agreed Betty enthusiastically. You've got actually to be, in imagination, dripping big-leaved plants in the sun against the blue sky. You've actually got to breathe that idea in before you can make it work, because you are not working in our accustomed substance. You are working in a higher creative form that you don't know how to use, except unconsciously and as it were, relaxedly. When you get to a certain age and dignity, you don't play that way. For the rest, Google this book title and read the rest. I was not able to make the complete book into audio.